nothing but the blood. Amen. We invite you to open your Bibles back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let's look at verses 23 and 24. If you're able, let's stand together. Brother Philip, would you lead us in a word of prayer before we read? Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Amen. Please be seated. As we've walked through this very practical section of Scripture the last couple of Sundays, there's just a lot of challenging things that he calls us to. Amen. Stay awake, be sober-minded, put on faith, love, and hope like armor. Amen. He tells us to encourage one another and build up one another. We're called to honor faithful leaders, to live in peace with everybody, to warn the disorderly, comfort the discouraged, support the weak, to be patient with everyone. We're supposed to refuse retaliation, pursue good with everybody, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in everything. We're supposed to refuse to quench the Spirit of God and test everything to figure out what's good, what's approved of God, and hold on to that which is good and true while rejecting what is evil. And so as we walk through all of these things, he kind of concludes all that, wraps it up as he finishes this letter, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. We know that when we're born again, that's the moment of our salvation. We know that one day when he comes again, that's our glorification. He's going to change this corruptible body into something that's incorruptible. This mortal is going to put on immortality. This that will perish is going to be imperishable, and it's going to be a glorious day. But in between the moment of your salvation and that day of glorification, we have a time of sanctification, and God wants to sanctify us wholly in every way. Now, he says, I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know there are some people who believe that as human beings, we're just dual-natured. We have the physical and the spiritual. I tend to believe, created in the image of God, that's part of this. What he gets to here is that we have our spirit, soul, and body. The spirit is the pneuma, the breath. Amen. And we understand that's the Holy Spirit, but we also have a spirit that is our own. And then soul is the Greek word psuche, where we get psyche from. And I believe this is the part of us that is our mental or emotional. This is our consciousness. So you have your spirit, you have the soul or the psyche, and then we have, of course, the body. And his prayer is that we would be preserved blameless in all areas, all ways of our lives. Amen. Sanctification is something God wants to do in every area of our being. God is our peace. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And can I say this? Without God, there is no peace. Amen. I'm sure you've seen like a bumper sticker. No God, no peace, right? N-O, but no God, K-N-O-W, then you know peace. Amen. Without God, there is no peace, but with God, knowing God means knowing peace. Our peace isn't grounded in ourselves. Our peace isn't grounded in our experiences. Our peace is grounded in him, the person of God. He is the very God of peace. To be sanctified means to be set apart. Set apart unto God means to be made holy. This idea of being wholly sanctified, this is really the only place in the New Testament that I know of that word holy is used, and it means completely. It means through and through. It means in every part. And the prayer of the apostle is that God will penetrate and transform your entire being. He doesn't want to just change your spirit. So I meet people sometimes and they'll say, I'm a very spiritual person. We don't want to just be spiritual people. That usually means something kind of hokey. What we want to be is Christ-like. Amen. And we want Christ to transform not just the inner man, but we want him to transform our minds and our bodies, every part of our being. Giving our whole selves to God, being a living sacrifice unto him. And when we give every part of our lives to him, it's going to affect every part of the way that we live our lives. And can I just say that every aspect of your being impacts every other aspect of your being? Amen. Okay? And I think you guys get that, right? Anybody ever get up and, like, you don't want to come to be with the church? Like, if you're just honest. Like, you wake up in the morning, you're like, I do not want to get up. I don't want to get ready. I don't want to go. And have you ever done that and you like go ahead and force yourself to show up and you feel so much better? Ever happened to anybody? Yeah, because what happened is your flesh said, I don't want to do that. Your spirit was willing, but your flesh was weak. But if you'll overcome the flesh, then the spirit is revived and it actually impacts your mind and your body. Amen. And it works the other way too. And if you, I know some of you guys right now, just the last couple of weeks, really struggled with sleep. You're not getting sleep. And when your body is tired, does that impact your mental and emotional health? Amen. And your mental and emotional health, when you're physically tired and your mental and emotional health is compromised, does that impact your spirit? Amen. See, it all goes together. And that's why we need to be sanctified, set apart, made holy, sanctified in every phase of life. The Apostle Paul talks a lot about bringing his body into subjection so that he can obey Christ. We have to learn to overcome the appetites of the flesh. And when I do that, it helps me to grow spiritually. It's one of the reasons fasting and prayer go together. When I learn to control the appetites of the flesh, that helps me walk with him spiritually. And so there's so many different ways that we want to be sanctified holy. But this is the dream. This is the goal. This is what we want to do. I want to be fit. I want to be holy in every part of my life, set apart for God. And that's a struggle. Amen. It's a battle. But can I just say it's a battle worth fighting every day? Amen. He says, I want your spirit, soul, and body to be preserved blameless. What he's praying for, this word preserve means to keep, to guard, or to watch over. And what he's saying is, I want God to guard. I want God to watch over and maintain every part of who you are. To be blameless means to be without reproach. It means to be above reproach. The literal translation of the phrase means to be without handles. And what it means is that people can make all kinds of accusations against you, but to be blameless means there's nothing that they can actually get a hold of. There's nothing real there to grab you and pull you down by. Does that make sense?
Amen.
Some people kind of change the analogy, but the idea is people can throw a lot of stuff to you, but nothing sticks,
Amen.
Right? If you're blameless, it means that they're just hurling accusations, but nothing sticks. They hurled a lot of accusations against Jesus.
Amen.
None of them stuck. The Apostle Paul had to write letters defending his character and his calling. And when he wrote those letters, he was maintaining his blamelessness. He didn't claim to be sinless, but the accusations they made against him, they just didn't stick. He was above those reproaches that they were giving. We need to live a life in our body, in our mind, and in our spirit that is above reproach. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Philippians 2:12 says, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now, let me ask you a question. Do we work for our salvation? Verse 12? Yeah, I think a lot of people take this verse and twist it around to say something it doesn't say. We're not to work for our salvation. We work out our salvation. In other words, we work out of our salvation.
Amen.
if you're born again, faith without works is dead, being alone, right?
Amen.
Works doesn't save us, but if we are saved, we will work.
Amen.
And we're going to work out of our salvation, and we're going to do it with fear and trembling because we still tremble before a holy God. But we want to work out our salvation, work out of our salvation. We want to live it because God is working in us. Back in our text, he said, I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless to the coming of our Lord Jesus. Faithful is he that has called you. Faithful is he that calls you, who also will do it.
Amen.
So which is it? Am I living the Christian life, or is Christ living it in me? And the answer is yes. Right? It's one of those things that we wrestle with all the time. When I mess up, I can't blame God, right? And when I get it right, I can't take the credit.
Amen.
So what does that mean? It means that I have to die to myself, be filled with the Holy Spirit, and live this Christian life in the power of God, so it's him working in me.
Amen.
I do have a role to play. I have to submit my life to him. I have to put in the effort. I have to do the work of being sanctified, but it's him that's doing it in me. So he's faithful that has called us. He will do it. It is God that works in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And what is our goal? What is it that we're fixating on here? Our whole theme for the last several weeks has been that our eyes are upon thee.
Amen.
Jehoshaphat prayed, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. David said, I will lift my eyes to the hill. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. So what I've got to do is not be so distracted by my problems or the decisions or the things of life that I don't know how to handle, things I don't know what to do. I do that all the time. I come up against something, I don't even know what to do. Lord, I have no idea what to do. But listen, when you're living your life, you got to do something, right?
Amen.
I'm a Christian. I'm trying to follow Jesus. Got to do something. I'm a husband and a father. Like, I got to lead my family. I got to do something. I'm a pastor. I got to lead. We got to move forward. We can't just stay stagnant. We got to keep moving forward. But sometimes we just don't know what to do.
Amen.
So what do I do? I'm going to lift my eyes to Jesus. I'm going to fix my eyes on him, and I'm going to look towards him. What does he say? I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, he's coming again. So what I always have to do is get my eyes off of my problems. I got to get my eyes off of myself. I got to get my eyes off of this sin-cursed world. And I've got to lift my eyes up to Jesus.
Amen.
He is coming again. And he's got me.
Amen.
He's coming again. And he's got you. Whatever's going on in your life, in your family, or in his church, he is coming again, and he's got us. 1 John 3, verses 2 and 3. 1 John 3, verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is.
Amen.
And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. Jesus is coming again, and when he comes again, we're going to be completely transformed and glorified to be like Christ. But in the meantime, I want to purify myself even as he is pure. So what does that mean? Physically, I need to put off things that are not of Christ and put on things that are of Christ. Mentally, I need to put off things that are not of Christ and put on things that are of Christ. Spiritually, I need to put off things that are not of Christ and put on things that are of Christ. And every day of my life, I want to be purifying and be being purified so that I can be more like Jesus when he comes. And keep my eyes on him. He's coming again. Faithful is he that has called you, who also will do it. Can you trust God?
Amen.
Nothing else to trust, is there? Trust yourself. It's what the world says. Trust yourself. There's a lot of people in this country that think you ought to trust the government. We spent, I don't know how long, listening to the world tell us to trust the science. How'd that work out? It's okay. Just, you can plead the fifth. It's okay. The world calls us to trust in anything and everything but God. And the only one worthy of our trust, the only one we can trust, is God.
Amen.
Faithful is he that called you, who also will do it.
Amen.
I want to ask you a question. Do you think God's called you?
Amen.
Do you have a calling?
Amen.
You know, I've grown up going to church camps and different things, revivals. We just had a youth revival over at Roland, and man, it was a blessing. Just a lot of the churches that we go to camp with came and got to see some young men who are coming up, stand and preach the word, some young people lead in worship. Just, it was a youth-led revival. I didn't promote it properly. Everybody was supposed to come. Sorry. But it was a blessing. It is a blessing to see people come together. And I see these young men who have, we usually phrase it like this. We say they've surrendered to the ministry. You guys ever heard that before? And what we mean by that is there's a young man who feels a special calling on his life, that he believes God wants him to be a pastor or a missionary or some kind of, like, just full-time ministry is what we mean by that. But I'm afraid sometimes that we've seen that so much that, like, that we get this idea that the only people with a calling of God in their life is somebody who's a pastor or a missionary. I need you to hear me. You have all been called. I think it's good.
Amen.
When a young man recognizes that God may be calling him to a full-time ministry, whatever you want to call that, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm just saying if we're not careful, we get the idea that that's it. Either you're a pastor or a missionary, or you're a nobody.
Amen.
That's crazy. Every one of us is called.
Amen.
We're called to follow Jesus. We're called to be disciples who make disciples. We're called to be sanctified in every area of our life.
Amen.
We're called to be used by Jesus to build his kingdom, to build one another up, to love one another, and to, in love, build his church.
Amen.
We're all called to do that, to do the work of the ministry. So I want to ask one more time. Have you been called? Good, because he who's called you, he's the one who's going to do it.
Amen.
We're never going to get credit. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. Philippians 1 and verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He began a work in you the day you got saved. And he'll finish that work. And get this, friends, one day we will be like him.
Amen.
A glorified body, a completely purified mind, an absolutely perfectly transformed spirit. Every phase of our being is going to be glorified and made like Christ. So keep your eyes on Jesus. Look, put your eyes on him. Let's figure out his will for our lives. And by his grace, let's do it. Because ultimately, yielding to him means that he's doing the work in us.
Amen.
Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for the word. I pray that you'll bring these things to our remembrance day by day. That we'll meditate on these truths and that we will be transformed by the work of your spirit and your scriptures in our hearts. That we'll be conformed to the image of Christ. I pray that you'll help us to understand the truths of the gospel, to understand who you are and what you've done in us through faith in Jesus. Lord, the glories of the kingdom that you have in store for us, and that you would give us a great desire to live for you, who died for us and rose again. Help us to do these things that you've laid out for us in the scriptures, that we would faithfully obey to do the work. We cannot do it on our own. Lord, help us to submit ourselves to you, to yield to you, to just devote ourselves completely to Christ. And Lord, just to rejoice as we see you work in us. May you get all the praise and honor and glory. And may your will be done in every one of our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Is there any word or announcement before we dismiss this part of our service?